It's like in chess. First, you strategically position your pieces. Then when the timing's right, you strike. They're positioning themselves all over the world, using this one signal to synchronize their efforts. In approximately 6 hours, the signal's going to disappear and the countdown's going to be over.
And then what?
Checkmate.
Checkmate indeed. Oh, man. Welcome to the Irate Podcast, everybody.
Philip K. Dick. It can't be.
This is episode 44.
Woo!
In what has now become a long and drawn-out series. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And, of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome right into your ear holes. Thank you so much for joining me. Man, I'll tell you what. Checkmate indeed. I wish Jeff Goldblum was taking care of me right now.
No, I'm just kidding.
Because, like I've said, at the beginning of the last, like, 10 shows, I am exhausted. And the kid's not even here yet. The baby has not been born, and I am already dead to the world. If you hear some stuff in the background today of the show, we, of course, are recording this podcast high atop the neighborhood of Greenwood in the dining room studios, looking down on everybody. If you hear some stuff in the background today, my downstairs neighbors have decided to start partying it up at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're listening to their music and talking very loudly, but I think it might be the TV, because normally they're not very loud. We don't have a lot of neighbor problems here, except for the people who continue to have their dogs poop right where we put our garbage cans and recycling bins.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I was having this conversation with JD and Thunder and of the Stack of Dimes and Jeremy of the Sibling Rivalry podcast. Both podcasts that you should check out, but you probably have already because nobody listens to this podcast. And how did you find out about this podcast? Probably from one of their podcasts. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, we were having this conversation last night about who, you know, nobody steps in poop anymore. It's like a childish thing to do, right? Well, I step in dog shit every time I take out the garbage because usually it's dark out. And I can't see where I'm walking. And people, listen, okay, let's get real here for a second. If you're a dog owner, I hope to God that you are diligent about picking up your poo. Because there are a lot of people, especially on my street apparently, that do not feel that they need to do that. And it makes me so angry. Because literally, you know when you step in it too. It's like your foot, your heel squishes down, and you know, oh, that's not a solid surface. Makes me so mad that people out there just don't care. They just don't care. Drives me crazy. Anyway, we have a great show planned for you today. Madge and Dave of the Unload with Madge and Dave podcast are coming over here to the dining room studios. I think they're probably en route right now. And we're going to talk with them a little bit later about what they do and what made them move up to the greater Seattle area. Because these two, they used to apparently live in L.A. And I'm not sure how much I can say about them because they are very, very anonymous people. I think they're actually going to come up here with ski masks, too. They're gonna put on ski masks because they don't want me to know who they are. Which was very awkward when I went out to lunch a couple weeks ago with Dave because he had this ski mask on, and it was just kind of weird. Threw me for a loop just a little bit. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk with them about, what made them make the move up to the Pacific Northwest and what they kind of used to do. because they know a lot of cool people. They're like, they've had like Jerry Stiller call into their show. If you remember, Jerry Stiller was the played the father of George Costanza on Seinfeld, and also the father of Mr. Ben Stiller. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Very cool people, and they'll be joining us shortly. But first, before they get here, I wanted to talk a little bit with you, the listener, about how I'm doing. Because really, there's not much else going on in my world other than just being extremely stressed out. And yeah, this is a crazy time for me. And like I said before, like the baby's not even born yet. I think, let's see, the baby's going to be born on the 28th. We're recording this show on the 16th. So I got like a week and a half left of like bachelorhood. Yeah, just a week and a half, man, until my world comes crumbling down. I'm like the Roman Empire right now. That's what I feel like. I'm on top of the world, or at least just on top of my building, and everything's going to come crumbling down. Although, you know, it probably won't. I'm super excited to be a dad, you know, just to be serious about things for a little bit. And yeah, I'm super excited, but I've been hearing like lately, I work with a guy, you may remember him, Shane Klein. We work together, and he's got a 13-year-old daughter, and man, the other day he walked into the office and he was like, just wait, Aaron, just wait till she turns 13. Everything's going to go to shit. You know, I've stated before that I'm nervous about my daughter kind of growing older and having to deal with like boyfriends and things like that. That's why I want her to be a lesbian. Because I think dealing with girlfriends might be a little bit easier. But that, you know, probably not the case. But yeah, man, he's got some, you know, some things going on with his daughter. I mean, just, you know, your normal like teenage, issues and problems and things of that nature. But man, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but I guess you build up to it, right? It's not like it happens all of a sudden. We're going to build up to that, to that point, and hopefully, handle it like Shane does, because that guy is a stand-up dad. Let me tell you. I'm not sure if he wants me to talk about any of the things that are going on with his daughter, so I will not. But he's a really good dad, and I'm going to take some cues from him and get as much advice from parents as I can. I want to absorb that information and make sure that it sticks in my mind because, you know, this is crazy thing, right? I'm gonna be a dad in a week. Like when this episode drops, I'm gonna have like 4 days left of not being a dad. 4 days left, I think. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So when this episode drops on the 24th, yeah, dude, I'm gonna have 3 days left. 3 days left. We got a C-section scheduled for the 28th. At 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm going to be a wreck leading up to that. I mean, it's coming. It's coming. Like, I don't know. You know, a lot of people, they don't have a scheduled date, right, for their birth. But we do. We have the scheduled C-section. We even down to, like, the time that Mairead is going to go in for the C-section. That's when it's scheduled. And I kind of feel like one of the Cyclops in that movie Krull, right? Have you guys seen the movie Krull? The movie Krull is amazing, even though I haven't seen it since I was like maybe 10. But in that movie, the Cyclops, they know when they die, and they know how they die. Like they can read the future, and so they're all just like super depressed. And I wouldn't say that I'm depressed. Like, I'm not like the Cyclops in that what's the word? Come on, help me out here. Help me out here, guys. I'm not like the Cyclops in that respect, but I am like the Cyclops in that I know my future and when things are going to change drastically, right? And here's something that's really bothering me right now. All the people who are parents, and if you are a parent out there, I'm sure that you're probably guilty of this also. And I know that I probably will do the same thing once I am a parent, for a little while anyway. But one thing that's super annoying is when like in my situation, I've been going down to the hospital like every day, after work. I work over on the east side, and then I take a bus over to the Northgate area here in Seattle, and then which is, sometimes can be a long bus ride. But never, it's not too bad. I shouldn't say, it's too bad. But, and then, I get my car, I come home really quick, I make something to eat, and then I go down to the hospital to be with my wife. And, that's kind of a long day. And I stay down at the hospital until about 9 o'clock, and then I drive back up here, to my home and, crash and maybe watch some South Park while I go to bed. And like, not to get off too much off subject, but the other day, I think it was Thursday, I literally slept through my alarm clock. I woke up at 7 o'clock. I usually have to wake up at like 5:30 to get ready because I need to be at work at 7. And I woke up at 7 o'clock with my alarm clock going off. Like, it had been going off since 5:30. And I slept right through it. That's how exhausted I was. Excuse me. Whoa, dude. I just ate some breakfast. And it's it's creating some gases. It's like a veritable chemistry set in my stomach right now. So one thing that has been annoying me, like that day when I showed up to work, like, people are like, "Whoa, you're late, dude." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm just exhausted. I'm just so tired. Like, my body just shut down, right? And needed more sleep." Part of the problem probably is that I'm watching South Park as I go to bed. And then people like with kids will always say, "Well, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. You know, once that kid comes around, it's just going to get worse." It's like, quit saying that. Quit telling me that things are going to get worse. Because, first of all, it makes the person who's saying that, like, seem like they hate their kids. Like, they're like some character on a sitcom that's always just down on being a parent. You know? Like, you know the character. There's always that character. Like, let's see. Good example would be Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Where he's always just kind of sullen and, he's a dad, and I actually never watched the show, so I don't really know, but I've seen clips. But he's always like, that television dad, or shit, Al Bundy, right? It makes you seem like Al Bundy, like you hate your kids. And that's never a good thing. Like, you don't really hate your kids. But yeah, it's a job, dude. It's something that you're going to have to deal with, right? As a parent, you're going to be losing sleep, especially in the first years of the child being born. And, it's going to be kind of a rough road. It's a huge transition. I know that. I'm aware. I mean, I don't know, like, what exactly is going to happen. But I'm aware that there is going to be some drastic changes in my life soon, but I don't need everybody telling me that, like, making me feel like an idiot. Like, "Oh, you think you're tired now? Well, you're gonna be super tired once that kid comes, because you're a moron and you don't know that, so I must tell you." Shit, man, I know. I'm not an idiot. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. I feel better. See, I'm already kind of unloading before Madge and Dave get here. Yeah. So, like I said, they're from Madge and Dave. These guys are from L.A. I think they moved up here from L.A. And we're going to talk to them in just a minute. But first, let's go to a musical break. And then once we come back, we'll have Madge and Dave with us. We're going to hear Angelus by Elliott Smith, which is absolutely an amazing song. You know, you can probably find this on iTunes and all over the place. So I would definitely suggest you do that, because Elliott Smith was an amazing artist. But yeah, I chose this song because it's entitled Angelus. And I don't know if it's from, you know, or about Los Angeles. I've never exactly listened to the words, I guess. I don't know. Whatevs. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk with Madge and Dave, who are from Los Angeles. And, you know, chat with them a little bit. Hear about their podcast. Hear about their life experience. Maybe even talk about being a parent, because they have two children. All right. This is Elliott Smith, Angelus. And we will be right back.
Says I seen your picture on a $100 bill. What's a game? A chance to hear him as one. With real skill, so glad to meet you, Angelus. Picking up the ticket shows there's money to be made. Go on, lose the gamble, that's the history of the trade. Did you add up all the cards left to play? To zero, sign up with evil Angelus. Don't start me trying now. I'm all over it, Angela. I can make you satisfied.
All right, we are back with the two very entertaining parts of Unload with Madge and Dave. Welcome.
We should use that as a tagline.
The two very
entertaining, what was it?
Parts.
Madge and Dave. Thanks for having us, Aaron.
Of course. Yes. Thank you guys for coming on the show. This is a treat to have you guys here. And also give me so many compliments on my furniture.
Your studio.
Yeah, dining room studios. Welcome.
Is top of the line.
When Madge walked in here, she had less questions about what were we going to discuss today.
I didn't care.
And
I
more
love
about
the floors.
How did these floors get to be?
These floors.
Where did this wall move from?
Listen. The floors in this place?
This is
a class A,
and Madge has spent time in many professional broadcast studios. And when she walked in, she said, "NBC, Fox,
nothing on dining room studios,
huh? Nice.
Not a thing."
Yeah. Well, welcome, guys.
Hi.
I hope it wasn't too far of a trip.
Please,
for you,
nothing's too far in Seattle.
That's true.
That's all true.
Yeah. So hey, so you guys do this show called Unload with Madge and Dave.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Not your real names.
That's
maybe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But maybe.
There's a mystery. Anyway. We were just saying on our show that went live this week that there's actually some of our listeners brought up the fact that there's an AOL answer page with the question, who are Madge and Dave?
How about
really?
That?
Somebody from like a month ago has been, you'll see, like we see in our stats, like people are constantly searching, who are Madge and Dave?
Not going to tell you.
It's a mystery.
I'm actually guilty as charged. I have done the same thing.
Here we are.
Looking to find your real identities.
Here yes. we are.
Because you even have a Facebook page of your fakiness.
Yes.
That's right.
There's nothing fake about us.
We don't feel like it.
Well, you have a face. Like, Dave has a Facebook page.
That's yes. right.
For Dave Simmons.
That's right.
Yes.
This fictional character.
That's
yes.
right.
And it has the silhouette for your Facebook
done.
Picture.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why, though. Because when we set out to do the show, the goal was we don't want people to get caught up in who, like,
who you are.
That's right.
We're every man and woman.
That's exactly what it was. It's we are the every man and woman.
We ask the questions you all have thought of.
That's true.
Just like we like to unload about what's going on in our world.
Right.
We want everyone to just feel there's just another Dave or another Madge.
Right.
Right. Just unloading.
So let's talk a little bit about your podcast. It's been since you guys started, you guys have gotten some attention by a local like news magazine.
Yes.
Regional news magazine.
Oh.
Yes, it was huge.
Well, it was a little blurb, right?
Yeah, I'll take a blurb.
I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, they had some good things to say.
Yeah, it beats like, hey, these guys suck. Although I take that too, because somebody will listen.
It's better
Yeah. Hey, well, now people will check it out because they want to hear how bad it sucks.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Done.
We try to give them that every week. Yeah, no, I mean, so we started it in July
of last year,
of 2010.
That? Nice.
So, so we've...
You know what? That's exactly the same time that I started mine.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good month.
Yeah.
And are you feeling, how are you feeling being this far in now? Do you feel like you've been doing it for that long? You feel like
got
you
a rhythm
I
down.
Think I it feels like it has, because this is, for us, this is episode 44.
What?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Because you guys do two a week.
That's right.
Wow. We do a full 40 some minute and then we do our intervention.
A midweek intervention.
An intervention.
Yeah. Okay. So, but we're like, 85 plus episodes now since last
July.
Well,
between the two.
Yeah, between the two. You're keeping us honest.
I just want people to think like I'm spending. I don't have 2 hours. You know, I just want to make sure they know one's like 45 minutes and one's just a little blurb of something.
Like right, 10 minutes. Right. But for folks who don't know, so we do a Friday / or Saturday edition, which is the full podcast. We look at the whole week in review, and we unload about the things that are going on in pop culture, and we unload about the stuff that's bothering us, and folks who listen call up and they unload about stuff in their life that's bothering them.
Right, right.
And then
minus politics and religion.
Yeah, none of that.
What?
I know.
It gets too serious.
Right.
Let's see how just by saying it brought it down.
I know.
Now there was a tear.
I know.
There was a tear.
I know.
You can see it.
I know, because you hate talking about religion. It's the cause of every war since the dawn of time.
You know, and it gets, I mean, because no matter when you talk, if there's a subject where you're talking about politics or religion, you're going to piss somebody off.
That's right.
And that's why I've, like, our first episode, I said that, you know, even though we have politics on our, under our moniker on our website, I said, you know, we're not going to talk about that too much because I've been told that I am a idiot savant without the savant part when it comes to politics.
Well, you'll always offend half the people, so why can't we all just get along and talk about Nick Cage beating his wife, which is today's headline.
That's right.
Wait a minute. He's a wife beater?
He got arrested. Oh, thank
God.
She
said something about his hair plugs.
No, he wishes. You mean hair paint. They were in New Orleans, and he got arrested for domestic abuse.
Really? Really?
That's what the BlackBerry told me.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, I think...
That's terrible.
I know.
Not really, though. Really? Is it terrible?
Yeah, because he's a beater.
I mean, terrible for the person that got beat.
Yeah.
Not terrible for Nick Cage.
No,
from a PR perspective.
It's the closest
right,
he's gotten in the news in months. It's fine.
But I think we do our own, we have enough time to piss off people just unloading about everyday things. Like we, 1 week, unloaded about meteorologists. Our thing was like, look, really, what kind of training are these people, do they need to be meteorologists?
Did we get like the Hellraiser like writing somebody, in? Oh my God.
Somebody did an unload about
that.
Oh,
really?
Oh, like, hello, we go to school. I'm like, whatever, part-timer. Yeah, she got really pissed.
And then this week's show, we talked about, you know, prosthetic legs. I mean, our opinion is they need to get much better.
You keep
thinking about The Fugitive every time you see someone with a claw.
Well, they look like silly.
Can they not make these things look better?
And they're making you pay for it. They might as well make it look good.
Well, I think I saw a picture recently of an army vet with a prosthetic arm.
Was it looking good?
It looked crazy futuristic.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was. I mean, it was one of those mechanical ones where the fingers actually move and stuff. So it was it looked like a fucking Terminator hand.
Was it like Luke Skywalker, Empire Strikes Back hand?
I didn't see it. It wasn't like a close-up shot. Okay.
Was that after
you could
the
see
car
was
crash?
Like,
no, Luke, the hand, after he lost his hand at the end of Empire Strikes Back.
But did he come back to that movie? Remember, was that
Return,
of his
well,
face?
Return of the Jedi, he came back, and that's when his face was
But his face was messed up because it was after Corvette Summer. He was driving around speeding cars. He got an accident.
Wait. It was Corvette Summer?
After Corvette Summer, which Mark Hamill did.
Right.
he got into an accident before Return of the Jedi.
Right. I thought it was a different movie.
Maybe you're right.
Oh, I thought you meant Corvette Summer. Like, was the summer he crashed his Corvette?
No, there's a movie called Corvette Summer.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. I'm sure Aaron is already looking it up.
That was the last movie he did. Okay.
Yes. Anyways, his face looked fucked up.
Yeah, it
was. Yeah, it kind of got a little messy there.
That's why he started doing voiceover as the Joker.
He did.
That's right. He's done really well, actually, for himself.
He did, like, cartoons?
Yeah,
he does. He still does a ton of voiceover stuff. He did stuff for a bunch of video games.
Yeah.
Wing Commander.
I remember that.
The Wing Commander series.
Yeah.
And then, became like on the Batman animated series was the Joker. And then he started like actually writing comic books.
Yep. Holla.
Done. Yeah. The bills are paid.
And then, of course, like doing all sorts of crazy
Comic-Con stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just cameos.
And being in cameos. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Cameos in cameo. Movies and stuff like
Madge,
that.
Madge, spell cameos.
C-A-M-E-O-S.
Good job.
That is amazing.
That is good.
Whoa.
She is very good.
Write it down.
You can give her any word, and she knows how to spell it.
That's why I gave her the dictionary underneath her mic stand, because our mic stands are tiny.
Can you use cameo in a sentence?
Dude.
All right.
Do you remember the band Cameo in the early?
Oh hell yes. Yeah! Like I think I have one of their records. Cameo, actually.
Wasn't that Word Up? Didn't they do Word Up?
Word Up, yeah, yeah, totally.
And somebody say when you get to them.
Yeah,
we were
singing REO Speedwagon on the way here. Should we talk about that?
Only if you want to.
Let's get back really quick on your podcast. So we kind of hit on it a couple times there, but like, so you guys do two things a week.
Yeah.
You do one is your full episode, Unload with Madge and Dave, and then you do an intervention.
Yes.
So explain to us, because basically your show, like the main show, Unload, is you guys kind of venting about pop culture stuff.
Totally. Well, it was necessary.
It needed to happen.
It did, because I feel we're all feeling the same thing, and we're willing to talk about it. And so we're sort of like across.
Is this going to go in like the one world direction here?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
We are not one world.
So it's like, you know, Us Weekly meets, you know, Dave and I in our life. So we like, everybody can talk about pop culture, right? We have our little list. But then, so that's why we did that. And then the intervention show was because it was evident that a lot of people needed our help.
There's a lot of troubled people out there who don't know they're troubled.
It's true. And you're thinking, who's telling Robert De Niro to stop doing stupid stuff? Clearly nobody. It's up to us.
That's right. But it ranges celebrities like Robert De Niro, you know, get back to the serious acting. It ranges to, we did an intervention for
the grumpy chick at the grocery store.
That's right. And
get a new job.
And what's his name's voice?
What's his name?
Stephen Hawking's voice.
Stephen Hawking.
Oh, you went there.
Yeah.
We went there. That was our best.
You're not
one.
Afraid.
No, because
you're not afraid.
You thought it too. We just thought we'd say it.
The voice sucks. Like,
well, if they can do it for Roger Ebert, they can do it for.
Thank you.
Right?
Okay.
This guy is the smartest guy in the universe, probably.
Right?
And that's the last thing on his mind, probably. Is like,
which is why we're here.
I don't even give
a
shit anymore.
Right. Well, I guess that was a sucky episode. No.
No, but so it's on the full length episode. It's we get through all the interesting things that happened over the course of the week. Like this last week, we spent a little time, and I don't know if you read about this. The guy in San Francisco who spontaneously caught on fire in a porn store.
What?
There are no.
No,
words.
I didn't.
Exactly.
I did not.
We don't even
hear
talk about
this.
It because your mind will take you.
We talk about it, but it's all the pop culture, all the crazy stuff that's going on in our world. And then, like Madge said, the stuff that's bothering us. And then every week,
a
listener calls in and unloads, and we address that. And then the intervention is solely what's the subject for this week? Who are we intervening with? Who must stop what they're doing?
And we give them a little bit of advice.
Piece of our mind.
Nice. Yes. Nice. Well, it seems to work out really well, and people enjoy it.
That's always
a good thing.
All about the audience.
People are actually donating money to our show now.
People
really?
Donating money.
Great.
It's kind of crazy.
That's great.
So we got you a mug.
Yeah, we brought you a mug.
Yeah, they brought me a mug, Imagine Dave mug, which is awesome. And you guys listening to this, all three of you, can go to WordPress and...
I'll take it.
WordPress.
Is it WordPress?
Cafe Press.
Cafe Press.
Well, first of all, you have way more than three people listening to your show.
Okay, let's talk about this here real quick.
Okay.
Because you and I went to lunch.
Yeah.
What, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
No?
No, it's all a lie. This is all for the show. Yes, we had a great lunch.
And you basically informed me that I did it wrong.
Well, no, I'm just, I just said, I said to Aaron.
I set up my shit wrong, dude. Because I was asking you questions because you're a pretty tech-savvy guy.
Yeah.
And you know, we kind of my web guy, Sam, who's a close friend of mine, and I, we had never done anything like this before.
Right.
And he had never developed any web stuff for a podcast before, which was going to have, you know, streaming capabilities and RSS feeds. And so we were kind of running blind on this, and we totally missed a whole huge step, which was to set up our streaming stuff under a stat finder.
Well, I think there's a positive and a negative to it. If you don't have any idea how many people are listening to your show, you can sort of, it's sort of like you're living in an Amish community.
I am. And yeah. I am writing this podcast is on horse and buggy.
That's right.
Right now.
But there's
on horse and buggy.
There's
but
something
if you're
to
like, if you're like us,
yeah,
and people's approval and love means everything. I want to know how many.
That's right.
Well, it is, doing a podcast is inherently a little bit narcissistic, is it not?
Fully, and I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love you. No, I love me.
No, I love me.
No, I love me more.
I love me more than you. I love me 10 out of 10. How much do you love me?
Yeah, it really is. And I'm finding, like, as I get, you know, as I come approach the year anniversary of the Air Raid podcast, I'm finding that I'm getting much more comfortable talking about my life on mic.
Totally.
And it's like I listen back sometimes, you know, when I want to kind of hear how it sounded and stuff, because sometimes I'm not too happy with how things
turn
out.
It always sounds
but
better when you go
it
back
always
and
sounds
listen.
Better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
But I'm finding, like, wow, I'm really kind of putting it all out there sometimes.
Yeah.
And are you guys ever afraid of doing something like
Here's
that?
Here's a perfect example. Do you remember our Dionne Warwick episode?
I do remember that.
I was a little hard on Dionne.
It was an intervention with Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick's on The Apprentice now.
Who was
an
a
asshole.
Biatch on
and
The Apprentice.
And I was so moved to hate watching her that we immediately got on and recorded an intervention, and I was like, she's an asshole. She did it, and I don't really talk that way on the show.
Right, right.
And I felt the need on that next Friday's episode to apologize because I had sort of let myself vomit all over our audience.
But from a, like, sharing about your life perspective, I think that there's a line. There are things
right.
You know, we're not. But
everybody has a different line.
But by the way, I think truly at the end of the day, if you can talk about situations that have happened in your life that may be funny or poignant, although there's not a lot of that with us, that's what draws people to the conversation
totally.
And the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when Madge talks about killing a lizard in her apartment with Windex, there's a lot of people out there who have done
been
that
there.
And they feel the pain.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you do it on purpose?
Well, yeah.
It's a lizard.
It was in my house.
Oh, my gosh. Where was this? L.A.?
Where else would it be?
If it was in Seattle, probably not, because we would have been...
I'd be so excited to have a lizard.
You could get shot for that shit.
In Seattle,
up here in Seattle.
That's right.
So I drowned it with Windex, but then I left it to, like, die in its own stuff.
Right, right.
I go out in the morning. I was like, I'll get rid of it in the morning. It was gone.
Gone.
That sucker wasn't dead, so I knew it was going to kill me.
Yeah, and that's why you moved up to the Pacific Northwest.
We did,
because
I got too scared.
Either
that, you rather deal with grizzly bears.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Either that lizard was like in the source code
yes.
and just was moving on to another dimension, or it got up and walked out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw
the
source code.
No, I haven't seen it, but that's where, like, the CIA contacted the lizard and was like, you fucked up.
Right. Next assignment, jackass.
You got to try again.
Right.
You got to stop that train from blowing up.
Wouldn't that be freaky if, like, every 6 years the same looking lizard showed up in your kitchen?
Like the Geico little
but
guy.
But then he learned. Like, he had little glasses on to protect him from the Windex.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you would,
little
you
know, respirator.
Hazmat suit.
That's right.
The lizard king has sent him back in time. So,
yeah, that wasn't good for you. You didn't learn.
No,
something?
No. I just wanted to. I wanted to see what made you guys make the move, because you are from L.A. We just mentioned that.
Well,
and you guys moved up here what 2 years ago? 1 year.
A year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay.
You know what? We L.A. can have a shelf life.
Right.
It's great. It's great. Although in hindsight, it's much more attractive here. Like, it's really beautiful here.
Uh-huh.
It's a little like concrete jungle there. But there's a shelf life. It's great if you're single. It's great if you're married with no kids. Once you add kids, it's super expensive.
Oh, I bet.
Because
I
the
bet.
Schools aren't great. And so you
right,
have to think
right.
private and all that. And you know, we have some family here. And it was just time. Some opportunities opened up. And we were like,
And the thing about LA, like to Madge's point, is in the first, you know, first 5 or 10 years we were there, and we were both working in the entertainment industry. It's like premieres and, you know, the Emmy Awards.
No, yeah, you're living large.
All this stuff, really amazing. Then you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to go to the Emmy Awards. I don't want to go to this.
No, it's true, because I've been in the TV business for like sort of years, and you know, all your friends are in it, and they all do the same thing.
Right,
and after you go to like the events and this and that, you've been to it, and then it's work, and then you're like, ugh.
Right, right.
And then you know your audience who to say that to, and it's other people in the industry. Otherwise, your parents are like, are you crazy? Or your friends back home are like, what? I'd love to go. But it's still a job.
Yeah,
and it eventually you've done that grind year after year after year, and you're like, there's got to be other stuff.
And that's when you look at the surroundings and you say, okay, this is just a job. Does LA look that great? No, not really attractive.
Well, does it kind of become too like you're living in LA? Just living there becomes a job too.
That's right.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. You know, when you have kids coming into the world, it's like, do I want to send my kids to, you know, $20,000 a year private schools?
For preschool?
Because the public schools suck.
For preschool?
$15,000 for preschool.
Holy shit.
And there's other options, but if you like one where they actually learn a couple things.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, this is only going to get harder.
Right,
and
right.
The sunshine's great. I do miss the sunshine, but it's not enough to keep you there.
Yeah. Right, so.
And by the way, the Madge does PR work from Seattle. She still has her clients in LA.
I can do my job anywhere, and all my clients are LA-based. So
that's cool.
And I have a business partner down there, so we tag team on stuff. And so it's great. It's the best of both worlds because I still get to be working in the TV industry, but I don't have to deal with the ugh.
Does it ever get kind of – do you miss it?
Yeah, I do. And
do you miss that? Because it's got to be a lot more fast-paced because you're now, working from home.
Yes, and that is a challenge. You're catching me on a good day. It is a challenge. I'm like, bleh. I didn't miss it for a year, and now I'm starting to, and I think it's because it's like, can it get 60 degrees anytime soon?
Yeah.
You know, you start to miss it, and you do miss, I miss the early stages of my career when the TV business was a lot different and a lot better.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh my God, the competition is making it no fun.
Well, when Madge got into it, I mean, you were working on shows like Friends,
ER, Seinfeld, like, you know, during the fat days of NBC.
Right, right.
When they won every night by like bazillions.
Like, well, what's the difference in market share and audience from back then to
now?
Well,
it's so funny. Like, then, okay, so I remember...
Well, it's got to be bigger now, right?
Oh, no.
No?
It's zero. Like, you would watch ER or the finale of whatever, Friends, you know, after the Super Bowl, and it was like they'd get a 58 share.
Which means
58% of the audience that is tuned to television is watching this.
Well, how do they count that?
Now a success is like a six.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, it's horrible. So with cable and with the internet and with people listening to podcasts
and TiVo and stuff like that.
TiVo and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You can get excited over 60 million people watching your show. Now I'm supposed to get excited over 6 million? You know, it's a different game.
Really?
So many more channels, so many more folks who are not watching TV when it's live. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more to do, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and there's
a
lot more fear. So everybody, because truly nobody has quite discovered the way to reinvent that wheel, you know, in this climate change. So they freak out and panic and it's no fun.
That sounds very
professional. Really, it sounds extremely stressful.
It is. So I did that, and then I left because I was overseeing a TV studio PR department, and then went off and started doing consulting, and it's much more fun.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And for me, I was down there writing, you know, screenplays and producing television shows. And
you told me about a couple of those. Can you say anything about that?
No, I mean, I won't talk specifically, but I sold a movie to a major studio. I sold TV pilots. I produced some shows. But,
it's tough.
But you get to a point where you say, okay, I worked my butt off for like 2 years and I finally sold a movie to a studio and these things. And you get nice paydays and you're like, is this a grind that I can do every year?
Yeah, you got to keep it up.
So why not go somewhere where I don't feel the grind is as bad?
Death rate higher down there? Like is the average
I think the turnover
age.
In LA, the turnover in LA is pretty crazy. Like people
only the strong survive.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because people come to that town, and if they within 2 to 5 years
with stars in their eyes, right?
Major.
It's still that place where everybody kind of thinks that
there's a lot of quote unquote writers and a lot of quote unquote actors hanging out at coffee.
Well, here's like a perfect example.
They're all
They're like, what up, Starbucks?
I worked at a studio for a couple years, and the studio I worked at.
Yeah.
Do you know who the receptionist was? It was the star of. Prison Break.
Prison Break. Wentworth Miller was the receptionist at one of the companies.
One of the companies that
at.
I worked at for a couple of years.
Remember the
now,
show
are
Prison
you guys?
Break?
Yeah, are you guys fans of that show?
I never watched, but although it took place in my hometown.
The first season or two was good.
Yeah.
And then it was like, how many?
Because I was just, I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but what I was going to say is that show is garbage.
No.
I never followed it. No, that I don't watch.
The problem
watched.
With that show, though, is that it's the same problem I had with 24, is that there's so many ridiculous things that would happen.
Right, right.
It was like just when they were about to get out. Another.
It's like, you know what? Just go back to jail.
Right.
I miss
it's just too complicated.
Just, yeah. Just
like, just take a nap.
Cut your losses.
Right.
Cut your
and
losses
like
and go
me.
To prison.
Sorry.
Yeah. Crawling through human feces is just not the way no, I want to get out of jail.
Well, now you're talking about Shawshank.
That's true. Yeah. I wouldn't have never done that. Would you have?
No.
Would you have crawled 3 miles through human
never,
feces to escape?
I would never escape prison. I'd be like, dude, I'm here.
Well, let me ask you this.
If I was Andy Dufresne,
yes.
Oh. What would I do?
Let me ask you the question, though. Here's the two choices.
Uh-huh.
You're going to crawl 3 miles through human feces.
Pass.
But no Zehua Hatueco, or whatever the hell they call that place.
What?
The Mexico place that he's going to.
Oh, yeah. Zihuatanejo.
What yeah. did you say?
Zehua Hateco.
Oh.
Which is also sells HDTVs and other tech equipment. But you're
they're now where Sony's headquarters is. Yeah.
Right.
So if you knew that you had a guaranteed ticket to whatever you said, in Mexico,
Gestapo?
You probably would crawl through the feces. But if you didn't and you just had to, you know, stay in the United States, would you still have crawled through the feces to escape?
Oh.
You lost me at feces.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Dave asked me these kind of questions a lot. For $100, would you eat a turd?
While you're thinking about that answer, I'll actually ask him my trademark question.
Okay, yes. What's the... Yeah,
you wake up in the morning, you have one of these two things that you have to choose to live with.
Okay.
One, you have a dead raccoon carcass in your stomach. You can never pass it. You feel somewhat full part of the time, and every once in a while you burp and you taste the dead raccoon carcass. That's one choice. Or two, your left leg is amputated. What's the choice? Where do you go?
Well, okay, so here's my
it's
question.
It's a yes or no, buddy.
Well, can I ask?
Yes,
I can
ask a question. Go ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you feel full sometimes.
He wants to know if he's going to have room for lunch.
Well, no, I'm going to – I want to know if I would be able
dead?
To lose weight. Or would you be able to see,
like
if I lost weight? No.
Let me warn you, we had
a
dead raccoon under our house in L.A. It smells like ass.
You would actually burp up the smell of rot?
And you'd taste it.
Rotting?
Every once in a while.
Thank you.
Not that often.
Don't look at me like I changed the game.
Once in a while. But you would not see a bulge, even if you were like at your skinniest. It's inside. So you
it's
can't,
your own secret.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's worried about how he looks.
That's right.
So he's clearly not
getting ready.
He's not getting the leg cut off, clearly. He's am I going to have a bulge?
Well, because he's also thinking about P90X. That's why.
Oh, do you do P90X?
I thought about it for about 4 minutes. I thought about it for about 4 minutes.
Until they told you had to install something, like a pull-up bar, right?
Oh.
No. I was just thinking, because people say, you don't have to do everything on the video, right?
Right.
We had this conversation at
He's
lunch.
Like, if
didn't
I turn
we?
It
did
on,
we? I don't think
I think
so.
We did.
If I turn it on, will I lose weight?
I don't think we did.
You're a slim
I think
guy.
We did.
You don't
I
need it.
Well, no, I'm sucking it in right now. I just made I made it past a huge landmark in my weightiness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I made it past the 198 mark.
Nice.
Wow.
197.4 pounds this morning.
Good work.
Better
yeah.
Pass on dinner.
What are you not eating that's getting you there?
Yeah, what, such a girl. Well, I was 192.4. I'm
dude,
practically 140.
You know what? The Greenwood area of Seattle is like the Hollywood of Seattle.
Well, this Green Lake thing is like, isn't it the longest path or most popular walking path in the country something like that?
Wow, you guys are... This is turning into a girl show.
But you know what?
He's
diverted the attention from the question at hand.
Oh, okay, 190. Yeah,
I would go with the raccoon
carcass.
Yeah. I would just when I felt a burp coming on, I would just
swallow
be like
it.
I'd have to excuse myself from the room because that cuz you know, I've eaten a lot of beef sometimes and when you burp that stuff up you can smell it across
You're
the room.
You're are we at what is that, Harris Ranch, California, where it smells like
cow you drive
ass.
By and you smell cow ass.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way,
yeah.
I met somebody who worked there. I have to tell you that off.
Wait a minute. Is that off of 101?
The 5
No,
South.
No,
5 North.
And it smells like
California.
Cow ass.
Yeah, yeah. It's where those big, it's like the
Cunnilingus?
Junction where
Cunnilingus.
The huge gas stations are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
right.
We
Cunnilingus.
Drove out there.
Yeah.
It really smelled.
Yeah, it does.
It was stinky. Well, right. Hey, on that note, yeah. let's go to a second musical break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with you guys about some of these people that you get to call into your show and unload on certain.
Very good. I look forward to that conversation.
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
Are you guys having a good time?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
This is great. And the table here is amazing.
The table and the little spongy.
The little spongy things.
If that thing's missing when you guys leave,
the orange bowl,
I'm gonna be very pissed.
Yeah. Would you eat that spongy mic covering?
I didn't say I'm hungry for it.
For $100,000?
Yes.
Okay.
And the couch.
All right,
what kind of music do you guys listen to?
I think we're all over the place, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah?
We love the classic '80s stuff, but whether it's Coldplay or what are we listening to today, like these days? Elliot Smith, which you played earlier. Love Elliot Smith.
Yeah.
Sad that he's no longer with us.
I know.
There's
did
a great.
He live here?
I don't know that he did, but
well, he was kind of from. Yeah. He was from Olympia.
Nah. Okay.
Ben Folds, who I love, wrote a great song where he talks about Elliot Smith. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Where he basically toured.
Honey, he'd like to go to his music.
Okay.
No. Keep going.
No,
he
toured with Elliot Smith, and the interesting conversation he had with Elliot Smith was, Elliot Smith had such a violent childhood that. He had said, he was talking to Ben Folds about it, because Ben was like, you know, your music is so beautiful, it's so sort of calming and introspective. And he said, look, when you've grown up where everybody's doing nothing but screaming as a child, that's the last thing you want your music to be about, which I thought was interesting.
Right, right. Yeah. Have you guys ever, Elliot Smith used to be in a band called Heat Miser.
Never heard him.
That was more, it was plugged in. It was like the plugged in version.
Oh.
They were very, very good.
Do you like Josh Radin?
Josh Radin.
Joshua Radin.
I don't know who that is.
If you like Elliot Smith, you'd like him. And that's a tip, a music tip for today.
One to grow on.
Well, see, now I'm trying to look up Heat Miser, and I don't know what's going on.
I have a question. As we've been talking, have little sound bites been popping up throughout?
No.
Okay.
No.
Can we get a, Kelly Clarkson! At some point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll save that for the second half.
All right, great.
We'll save that for the second half.
All right, cool.
Well, I can't get Heat Miser. There we go. Let's try this.
I'm pins and needles.
I don't know which one this is. Plain Clothes Man. This is Heat Miser. This is Elliot Smith's old band. Let's see. And this one's called Plain Clothes Man. And we'll be right back with Madge and Dave coming up, talking about stuff. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Say the things you say. Please turn out the light. I get all sick, confusion, headache, trying to figure out who's right. Dreaming on the silver screen, waking up your plate was men. You little bastard, little boy. Someone's gonna get to you. Everything you do. Somewhere up in the sun, mysterious with everyone, and things you win you with his angry kiss. Acting like he has no needs, wanting you to watch him bleed. Tell you now, now that no one else is around, the sort of lesson that I learned from you. Not quite the way you planned, but I know you'll understand. Someone takes a photograph, a picture while the sweetheart laughs. A perfect moment in a flash of light, coming back in 301. That's exactly what
All right, we are back from listening to Plainclothes Man by Heat Miser. That's with Elliot Smith as the front man. They actually, they were around kind of in the early to mid-90s, I want to say.
Wow, long time ago.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And it actually started out like there was a different singer for the band, oh. And it wasn't very good.
Was it Phil Collins?
And so,
I'm
no, it was not. And that is blasphemous.
Sorry.
You're not a fan of Genesis?
I love Genesis.
Come
but
on.
Are you a fan of Genesis when it was Peter Gabriel or Phil Collins?
Word up, yo.
I think both.
Really? It was very very experimental when it was Peter Gabriel.
Right,
it was much more, you know.
Peter Gabriel.
Much more mainstream with, what's his name?
Phil.
Phil Collins.
Phil. Philly. Philly C. In this household, we call him Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Yeah. Oh, pardon.
Yeah. Good.
But yeah, Heat Miser started out like they would trade off. Singing with the other singer.
Oh, wow.
And everybody liked Elliot Smith's voice a little bit more, I guess. Yeah. Actually, this is all, like, I'm just pulling this out of my ass. I don't actually know if this is, it's all hearsay.
Did you know Elliot Smith, what the moment was when his music got into the mainstream? Do you know what that one
moment? Goodwill Hunting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that really?
Miss Misery.
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
We just watched that the other day, didn't we?
Yes, and What's Her Name has a lot of freckles.
Dude, I had a huge crush on that gigantic face.
On that mask face.
She has a big round face.
She has a very large jaw.
Yes, but and so even when she, like, she's tall and thin.
Uh-huh.
So if she would even put on weight, it would just become moon pie.
Well, when you saw her in Circle of Friends.
Oh, I love that movie.
She was sort of moon pie-ish.
This is me jealous. Are you kidding me? I'd take it any day.
Oh, my God.
She's got, really? I like her.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
Her in Gross Point Blank with John Cusack, made me fall in love with her.
Because she's very down to earth.
Like, I totally forgot about my whole Meg Ryan crush at that point.
Who, morphed into Freako, right?
You know? Yeah.
That's called Leave the Lips Alone.
Definitely.
Because once you feel that shit in there, it doesn't ever totally go away.
That's right.
No.
Yeah, she looks weird. Plus, she's older now, but she looks weird.
She ruined her career.
She did.
I think she'd still be super cute if she didn't do that to her lips. And then we talked about that in episode 43.
Just off the top of your head.
Did you do an intervention?
No, we didn't.
I know,
but
you're
we had just watched.
Yada, yada. How do you pull that out? So
well, it was the last episode.
Oh,
cheater.
This is 44.
Okay.
It's kind of easy. Yeah.
That was easy.
See, I don't have as many episodes as you guys, so I can still kind of just come up with that. Plus, I'm very smart.
Very.
I've sensed that.
An idiot savant.
An idiot savant without the savant parts.
That's right.
Actually.
That was great.
Yeah, Heat Miser, check them out. They were a fantastic band, especially when fronted by Mr. Elliot Smith. Hey, I wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about the Unload podcast. Once again.
Oh, great idea.
Done.
Yeah. Is that a fantastic
idea?
It's
a really good idea.
Yeah. Free plug, done.
I mean, look at how prepared this guy is.
I'm pointing at myself.
No, you are prepared. Yeah. You actually have notes.
Yeah. Do you guys do that?
Yeah.
You guys prepare
you
stuff,
have
right?
to, or else we're just vomiting stupid stuff.
Well, that's truly, I think that's truly the difference. There are podcasts out there where
you can tell. You can tell.
God bless.
Or it's just, they're just sort of randomly whatever comes to mind. But at least if you have a direction you're going, you can go, you can veer off, but people know when you don't know what you're planning on talking
about. But we also try to be topical.
Yeah.
So what's topical? You know, like what's now?
What's
happening right now?
Don't see
what's hip? What's happening?
Reminds me of that scene in Spaceballs.
Which scene is that?
Where they're checking out the video for Spaceballs the movie.
That's right.
And like whatever's happening now is happening right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you. Let me just name drop for a minute.
All right.
Spaceballs is Mel Brooks. Right?
That's right.
Right.
I've
right.
seen it, but I just don't care.
Yeah.
Why?
I have
not?
Had the chance to work with Mel Brooks.
Really?
That was amazing.
Is he a great guy?
He
seems like he would be just an amazing person.
If I could have been attracted to a 70-year-old man, I would have been. What a, like, just an icon, and you knew it, but he was so down to earth, and everybody just watched respectfully.
If he had been able to wear a mask with my face on it, would that have worked?
Dry hump. I would have.
Nice.
Just stop it.
Nice. I would have been okay with that.
I don't even think I knew you when I
As long
met
as he
him.
Wore my mask.
I didn't even know you
then. It would be like you weren't cheating.
That's how long. Oh, God. It's been a long time. All right. Sorry. Digress.
So, well, that, I mean, that kind of that's a great segue because you guys do have. God. You guys do have a basic, veritable cornucopia of
is that landscape
famous people that you guys...
Wow. Occasionally. You
know. Occasional famous people.
Well, that you know.
Sure.
I'm not talking about like on your show per se, but that you guys know and interact with.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is when, and you got to get over it too, because when you're in LA, I don't mean you, I mean just people
in
general.
It's true. Yeah. That's who you know.
Here's two perfect examples. When I was in LA, one of the first internships I ever had at a major studio, on my first day, and this will date me, Pauly Shore walked into the office. He walked right past me, and I literally...
The son-in-law years or Biodome years?
It was the son-in-law years.
God,
I sort of freaked out, and I was like, I cannot react this way to talent.
Right.
Because they don't want that. And not to mention, I was at a buddy's house once, and we were watching a game on TV, and Luke Perry came by, and he just came, hung out. He was his friend. I mean, things like that will constantly happen, and especially with Madge. You know, I would go with Madge to a lot of, you know, awards ceremonies, and there was a People's Choice Awards we went to one year. We were standing in a room, and it was like to my left was...
Oh, no, I'm going to be honest with you. That was awesome. Like, you after several years, you're like, whatever. It was Critics' Choice Awards, and it was very highbrow, and I have never been surrounded by so many A-level talent in my entire career.
Really?
So you had like...
Spielberg,
I did TV.
Nicholson.
This was like a lot of top-tier feature, and even I was like,
Right. Yeah.
But in LA, there's two sets of people. There are the people who got to go to that, and then they are annoying and asking for pictures.
Yes.
Oh, I wrote a script. Like, our rule is we don't do that. If you don't have something a real reason to talk to them, they're never going to remember you. It's you're doing yourself a disservice to have that conversation.
But that was cool. There were I love those moments, and you don't take advantage of it.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is from the bottom of my heart.
Do it.
Are they just like us?
Copyright 2011.
Yes. In fact, we're usually better than them. How about
because we've had some, bigger name people on this show.
Bigger than who?
Bigger than me.
Oh, okay.
And
you're only 198.
197. I broke that barrier. Okay?
Sorry.
Don't take that away from him.
With a 0.4.
Sorry, that's right.
No, but I mean, I've talked with, just in doing this show and trying to get people on the show, I've interacted with, I don't know, local talent, local celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And what, they're just people.
Totally.
Of course. And I'm not talking the same caliber that you guys have interacted with. But it's kind of the same thing. But there are some people that are total assholes.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Wow. I mean, it just blows me away.
And it's
like
a buzzkill.
It totally is.
Because you might see somebody, it doesn't matter if they're a local celeb, big celeb, whatever. You have in your head what they are, and then they disappoint you. Oh,
yes,
I hate that.
Well, I think it usually, it more so has happened with meeting bands and interacting with bands.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you look at a group of 10 normal people in the world, whether they're celebrities or not, some are going to be assholes and some are going to be cool.
Totally true.
I mean, that's just
totally true.
Dave.
Yeah.
That's my Socratic statement of the day.
Write it down. I'll
sign it. Wow, big word, too.
1 out of 10 is an asshole.
Match. Spell Socratic.
S-O.
Cratic.
C-R-A-T-I-C.
Good job.
Or is it P-S?
No, E-U. P-S.
Socratic.
Socratic.
Or faux-cratic.
F-A-
you didn't even know. You're like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do with that.
F-A-U-X?
Yeah.
That's right. Good job.
Wait, is there an E in there?
No.
No.
Faux?
No.
F-A-U-X.
And then
faux show.
Faux show.
Yeah.
Faux
show. So yeah, so some of them are... Some of them are.
It just depends.
It just depends who they are, but there are a lot of good folks out there.
Mm-hmm. Usually, the bigger, the nicer. It's the ones that are trying hard that forget.
Yeah, who get caught up in the very quick sort of rise to celebrity.
Yeah.
We don't like them.
Is it usually like the reality television people that are just total moron aspects?
Like, really? It's like, really?
Well, I'll tell you this. I produced a couple of unscripted reality shows and, the contest shows, whether it's
and
there are celebrities who are there and they're lucky to be on that show and they are milking it for as much as they can. Literally, like, I remember there were production assistants who were getting yelled at by B-level celebrities. At C-level celebrities who...
B was what they...
If you're on a reality TV show, you're probably at the C-level.
It's like, why is my salad... Why is there no, plastic wrap on the top of my salad?
Really?
And freaking out at production assistants.
You're
and it's
like, dude, you're doing a stupid show.
That's right. You will be, in 5 minutes from now, you will be covered in green slime. And this is what you're arguing about.
Wait, you used to work on Double Dare?
No.
I know. It's like Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
No, you can't do that on television. That was the show.
You used to work on that show?
No.
Oh, God damn it.
No. Me and Alanis Morissette. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm free, but I'm focused.
That's good.
That was a great CD.
Oh, man.
You know she sold 25 million of that thing?
I did.
Well, and then they did it like she redid it again. It was like the same exact album, but it was acoustic.
No.
It's because she wasn't having much luck with the other ones.
That's ridiculous.
Poor Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Dave. You know what that guy's saying right now.
I should have stayed.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
That's exactly what he's saying right there. There's your Kelly Clarkson.
Like I know.
What would they say?
I don't know what they'd say. But
see,
we
but
need
it's a, nothing like me doing it live.
We need a button.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You guys do. You do need a button.
Mm-hmm.
You do need a button.
We're gonna work on the button.
Boy,
so you have these celebrities sometimes call into the show and leave their little unloads.
Because what celeb doesn't have a rant? Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Well,
I mean, in fact, there should.
If
be
you're
more.
A human, you have to. You're
gotta unload.
Ranting about something.
Yeah. At least right. one thing a week is bothering all of us.
Thank you.
At least.
Dave,
yes.
You should
yes.
have a show.
I should have a show.
You should have a show.
I should break off and do a solo show.
Yeah, see how well that does.
I would never do it.
I know.
Yes.
Failure.
But one thing, one of them that stuck out in my mind was Jerry Stiller.
Good
I
guy.
My wife and I are huge fans of Seinfeld.
He's great.
And that guy seems like, because he just seemed like a total sweetheart when
Listen
he was on
to me.
When he was on your show.
Jerry Stiller is 80 years old.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Stiller sends my children Christmas gifts.
Every year.
Wow.
Jerry Stiller, like, I mean, when the second baby was born, sent us like two gifts because he couldn't decide. His assistant called, want to make sure we get the Christmas gifts because he went out himself and shopped. For,
uh-huh.
You know, like,
uh-huh.
what the hell? And he's such a sweetheart. And I worked with him and helped him get his star on the Walk of Fame.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what
wow.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
And he's the old, you know, the old original regime of talent that you wish the new people or even the people who have been around for a little while.
Right,
would
right.
take a page and get like, oh, this is how you do it. What a doll.
Old school.
Yeah.
And funny.
Well, and don't you agree, Madge, that all the old school folks that you've worked with
yeah.
have that sort of same...
Totally. Like, you know, Mel Brooks, Jerry, Sid Caesar.
They take pride in their work.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. I went to yeah. one when I was just starting, and I got to go to Bob Hope's house.
Really?
You don't... And here's me. At the time, I'm like, whatever. Until you walk in, and you're like, I'm in Bob Hope's. Like, Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
unfortunately, 20-somethings now are like, who? But, like, an icon.
Was there a USO show going on in
no,
his living room?
No, but it was a show for NBC, and he was yeah. helping to, like, mentor young comics. I got to see the vault where he puts the jokes. Like, that's crazy.
What?
He had a vault where he kept all of his material.
No kidding.
And, like, that's amazing. Because you know you're, you know, it's like you're seeing.
It's like a safe room.
Oh, it's amazing. So,
yeah. wow.
you know, stuff
wow.
like that makes all the other people look like dicks.
And was Jodie Foster in the.
Jodie Foster was in the panic room.
That's right.
No, I hate her. Okay. I so don't understand Jodie Foster. Can someone explain to me the appeal in any way?
Now, wait a minute. Have you met her? Is
no.
she a bad person?
No, I wouldn't even cross the street if she was on fire.
Were you.
Even though you've
were
had
you
no.
Were you not a fan of Silence of the Lambs?
No. I mean, yes, but not because
of her. That was a great
her,
movie.
But it was his movie.
That's it. Yeah, that's true.
She's annoying. True. She speaks, and I'm like, oh, gosh, shut up.
Well, and it's like, and you see the commercials for the man. Ads for the Beaver, which is Mel Gibson
Ugh.
And Jodie Foster, and it's like there's nothing appealing.
Is she in it, or does she just
She's
direct
in
it?
She's in it, and she directed it.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. The Beaver?
This is
yes.
Mel Gibson.
Is this a movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Yes, and he talks to a beaver puppet. It's all good.
He's having trouble in life, no success, and... His family's falling apart, and
so it's basically a biopic.
Bingo!
And his lowest point, he finds an old puppet, beaver puppet, in the garbage, and
uh-huh.
He loses himself in the puppet and starts talking through the puppet.
Whoa!
Great,
and,
right?
And
great.
That's what makes everything fall back into place.
Great.
I might see that though.
Yeah,
it sounds just weird enough to like
yeah.
be kind of interesting.
Let me know how. It
but
goes.
Jodie, it's true. Jodie Foster. It's like, do I really want to see it when
no.
Jodie Foster's
like,
in it?
What was that movie, Contact? You were like, let's watch it. I go,
that was a good
I'd
movie.
Rather eat
I like that one.
A
I
like
that
one. I'm a sucker for anything like
Bad.
Alien
oh, yeah.
and Underwater.
Oh,
so,
like,
so The Abyss.
The Abyss was an amazing movie. All and right. then I saw it like on the movie cart at the hospital.
Yeah.
They had Sphere. with Sharon Stone and
Dustin Hoffman.
Samuel L. Jackson.
We need to do an intervention with her.
Yeah.
She needs some direction.
That was a cool movie, though. I liked it. I liked it. The ending kind of blows ass.
Yeah.
You know, you want something more. But I am a sucker for those movies. And that's the same thing my wife said, Mairead said, after it was done. It was like, you watched this numerous times.
So I put Sphere in the same category as, like, Leviathan.
Leviathan, Deep Star 6.
That's right. All of those. There was, like, The Abyss made it sexy to do underwater
thrillers. Well, it made it scary, too.
That's right.
Like, you are trapped.
Like
you are trapped.
You are going to drown.
Yeah,
and you know you're going to drown. And here comes the water over your head.
Yeah. And there's a monster down here.
That's right.
Did we fail to mention that there is a big monster?
Bored.
Huge big monster.
Well, how are you bored?
I hate those movies. 16 candles.
Just give Madge Oprah behind the scenes, and she'll be happy.
Oh, I love that show.
Anything with the Brat Pack and Madge is fine.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah, but it's ending. It's ending.
Which?
Oprah.
Yeah, it's over soon.
Are you going to be sad? Are you going to be one of those people that doesn't know what book to read after
the
show goes
off? No, I don't follow any
of
that.
Okay.
I like to just watch her act like she's one of us.
Right. So like she's normal.
Which doesn't happen often.
I wipe my ass with hundreds. You're just like me. Really? Not really. Not really.
Oh, my God. Like that's one thing that bothers me about her sometimes because she tries to relate. And
she's
it's like,
not.
You can't.
P.S.
There's no possible way for you to relate.
That cabin in Mississippi was a lot of years ago. Like, she keeps being like, I grew up with no electricity. I'm like, bitch, you bought Thomas Edison's company. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
She's there's no relating.
Yeah.
But I'd be your best friend if she asked me.
Oh, totally. Right? Easy. Yeah, I'd replace whoever that other lady is.
What was this? Gail.
Gail. I'd replace Gail.
I'd be the BFF.
Gail
like,
is
totally.
just an annoyance.
Gail,
to
go
Aaron.
Go make us a salad. make sure you put Saran wrap all over the top.
Yeah.
So back to Jerry Stiller. So this guy is just an absolute sweetheart.
Totally.
He calls into your show and unloads.
Yes,
about...
we had asked him. What did he unload about?
He unloaded about just sort of the state of the world.
Oh yeah, that was right.
Whoa, that's a big topic.
Well,
it's very broad.
He hit some bullets.
He hit Trump for president.
Yes.
I think he was a supporter of. Right.
He was being funny.
Yeah, but he just sort of did a quick like the world is falling apart.
Yeah.
What's but don't worry about it. We have Charlie Sheen to save us and Donald Trump. Running for president, and it was just sort of this funny quick rant that he did on the show, which was great. We appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Cute.
Yeah.
So, what's like the Stiller family life like?
I'm not over there. I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. His son worships his father. Ben Stiller worships his father, and he should. He's a good person.
But it's a close. It's a close
family.
They're
very close, and there's a sister, Amy. They're very, very close.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I think Ben and his wife just got a place in the same building in New York as Jerry and Anne. So they can be close.
I will say this because we've been in the same events where Ben has been. Ben is just again, he's in a different time of Hollywood.
Yes.
I think he's much more on guard and protective of,
and he should be,
of dealing with people.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But outside of the Jerry.
I guess when you're in that position, too, you have to be.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants something from you.
Right.
Totally.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So, but, Jerry's great. And then we had Joe Mantegna, who's
love
a star
him.
Of Criminal Minds.
And we were
on
talking
show.
About that before we started the show. Yeah. And I told you guys that my wife and I have become obsessed with Criminal Minds.
He's,
I don't know why. I mean, it's not like it's the greatest thing on
no,
the
it's
planet.
Not the second
it's
coming,
better.
It's no Parenthood.
It's better than Preach. NCIS.
Can someone explain
it? It is way better than
NCIS. NCIS. No, listen. NCIS in repeats beat the new Paul Reiser show. And no, NCIS,
well, that's understandable.
No. NCIS in repeats on USA Network beat. I mean, like our cable toilet.
The
channel.
NCIS phenomenon is like the same. It's as maddening as the Angela Lansbury Murder, She Wrote scenario.
Right.
Or JAG.
JAG, which is finally off the air.
Yeah.
But like Mark Harmon makes $500,000 an episode.
That is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Got Don Bellisario, who created the show, fired off the show. Like,
really?
He holds the power.
Mark Harmon does.
Mark Harmon
holds
the power.
That's
I need
wow.
a show.
How does Donald Bellisario, the creator of Quantum Leap, get kicked off a show?
It doesn't matter. He still accepts the check.
No,
that is crazy.
Those are
that's
some
crazy.
Fat-ass checks.
And how, you know, this whole, like, this whole thing that they have in those shows, too, like, even Criminal Minds has it, too, where it's, like, the tech spurt.
Yeah.
Is, like, this, you know,
some
this, like,
guy who worked at
gothic
Apple.
Chick.
Right.
You know, like. Come on.
Well, CSI did it. Like, you've got to have... It always used to be like, you got to have the fat, funny guy.
Right.
Now you have to have the suicide girl-esque tech expert.
Tech expert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because
so
it brings
weird.
In the youth.
Oh, Jesus.
Not really.
It's very hot.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the CIA...
CSI?
Was it CSI Miami?
Yeah.
That show is so over
the top. David
Caruso
and that orange hair.
Oh, my God.
Dear God. Never.
I want to slap him.
I want to give him a tan. He looks like Dave's ass.
I don't think he can.
So
light. Ouch.
You know, like the little white ass that hasn't seen
TMI.
I'm kidding. It's actually not.
It's very tan. How do you come back from that?
You
it was white.
Keep
now
going,
it's very tan.
Keep going. Keep going.
What color is it?
So who else have you guys had call in? Name. Come on. Let's hear some name
drops
here.
I mean, we've just had a few. Joe.
Joe Montana.
Former drug addict Jeremy London.
Jeremy London from Party of Five.
Who he is. And we've got a few we're lining
I listened
up.
To that one too, and I was like, I don't know who you
That's
are.
That's okay. Our goal isn't. Our focus is not celebs. But they just happen to do it because they listen. And they
yeah,
because
truly, at the end, it's nice to have every once in a while. But at the end of the day, we get such great listener unloads from people who call up who listen
it's
to the
really
show.
Funny.
Right.
I mean,
right.
there was one that you can appreciate. There was a girl from Wisconsin. I forget. Is it
Amy?
Sarah?
Oh.
I think it was Sarah. She called up with this rant, or she wrote a rant about Cake Boss, about how.
That was
oh, Jesus.
Like, it is, if you are making cakes with PVC pipe and wood and Rice Krispie
it
treats,
ain't a cake.
It's not a cake.
It's not a cake.
If you can't figure out where to cut into the cake to eat it after it's been made, it's not a cake.
Well, if you can't eat it,
that's
it's
right.
not
there
a cake.
You, go.
You know?
That was the best.
That's so funny.
That show drives me nuts. And I actually called in. That's a great segue again.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are amazing.
We're just driving you down your list.
You are. Yeah. You are. I don't have to do anything. I don't even have my pants on right now.
I know. It's really breezy in here.
I was going to say something, but it's your
Were you going to come in on the color, it's perhaps?
Keep moving.
Okay.
No, but I called in to do my unload on your show, and I was talking about how the Discovery Channel has turned into basically redneck adventures.
Totally.
With the exception of Mythbusters. I'm a huge fan of that show.
Yeah.
But, you know, like... All these channels have turned into this. Like TLC, there's no learning on TLC anymore.
Unless you want to learn about midgets.
Or
arguing midgets.
Or people with eight babies.
Right.
Thank you.
You know?
You're next.
What do you learn from that, I wonder? Don't have eight babies.
Don't have eight babies.
Abstinence.
Right, right. Or you learn that you can possibly have your own reality TV show.
If you have eight babies. Like, what's her name?
Nine babies.
See, but that's the happen with the state of TV. They all have to branch out to survive.
Well, it's true.
They're like, history? What the hell? Nothing's going to happen.
Well, I know folks at a bunch of those cable channels, and truly, it's the sign of the times. Like, they've had to make these shows more extreme in order to compete for the audience. Because, again, you have 700 channels of crap.
Right.
And so how do you get people's attention? You've got to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, it drives me crazy because I'm a huge fan of, like, learning stuff.
Right.
You know,
you're a student of the world.
Right, right. I don't leave my living room, but I still like to learn, you know?
Yeah.
I used to love watching.
Dave, let's pretend he's not here. I love that he's learning by watching Discovery.
It's very good.
That's too bad.
It's inspiring.
That is good. I hope you get
Well, I'm not learning anymore.
Clearly.
Well, you are learning. You're learning
I'm learning that I have this newfound hatred for reality TV.
You're learning to hate.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's working out.
Well, but it's true. Yeah. Like, you know, in your unload, and I believe that was on episode 40, unload 40.
Oh, look at you.
I'd know that. It was two ago. But one of the points I thought was so funny was in every one of these shows, it's the conflict. It's the arguing that matters.
It's so, you know, by the book. I don't know. I mean, it's not it doesn't come across as reality anymore because every show is exactly the same.
And it's all manufactured.
Different scenario.
I mean, here's a perfect example. Like I said, I used to produce reality TV, and in the editing room, they have a term called the franking clip. And what they do is they will take audio from one part of a show and they will use different video. So I could be saying, I really hate food with, you know, curry in it.
Right.
And then another interview, I said something like, John is really a great guy. They cut it together and says, I really hate John. And then they don't...
He smell like curry.
And they don't show me because they don't want to show the edit between the two words.
Right.
And then they'll show a video of me, like, looking weird and then cutting to John across the room.
And you, as the actor, can't get pissed off because you signed a contract
saying that
they can do that.
They're going to create... Right. There are story editors whose whole focus is to piece together interviews and clips to tell a story.
Okay.
That's not
so. So let me ask you this, then. Are Heidi and Spencer really that douchey?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Then, or are they just heavily edited?
I know this guy. I've had interaction with this guy.
Spencer Pratt.
Uh-huh. Ugh, he disgusts me.
And he is...
A prick.
He is.
He, okay.
He is.
Ugh, good.
He is him.
Good.
He's playing himself.
It's totally
really?
Him. It's
wow.
totally him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
But if it were to come out that they're not married, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. He's a smart guy.
Smart
but he's,
in a douche
but he's
way.
But he's a prick.
Yeah. So he knows what he's doing.
I think so.
Basically.
Although
well,
it's
not anymore.
Working.
Well, right.
It's
not
say,
working anymore.
He
working.
Did for a while. I
they're
mean, he
gone.
Look, when The Hills started,
right.
Brody Jenner and Spencer Pratt and all those guys, they set their eyes on the prize. Let's hook up with some of these girls and let's get included in that show. And they did.
Oh, really? That's how it kind of
oh,
worked.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
they
sure.
had a they had a plan.
That's
you
right.
Know
agenda
it.
To do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dave huh. was their manager. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Gross.
No.
We'd have to hose you down.
That's right. De-louse me.
They're gross.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've pretty much hit on everything that that we set out to talk about, you guys.
Word up.
Yeah.
Taking the microphone.
Take that microphone home.
Where can we, why don't we plug your wares here really quick? Where can we find
ImagineDave.com for all your ImagineDave.com needs. And through there, you can find us on iTunes, on Zoom Marketplace, on Stitcher.
Oh.
You can get from our website to CafePress/unload.
Buy a mug.
Not WordPress.
No,
Cafe
not WordPress.
Press.
Yeah.
You need a mug, dude.
We're at Imagine Dave on Twitter. Just go to ImagineDave.com. You can find everything you need from there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But you won't find out who we are.
And if they want to call in, did you say the phone number?
260-7-UNLOAD.
Nice.
Or you can write us at unload@imaginedave.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for coming
thank
on the show.
You.
This
oh,
has been a huge pleasure.
Pleasure.
To have you here and comment on my hardwood floors.
It's a beautiful place.
It's a great, honest to God, the floors are killing me.
If we ever
aren't
need,
they amazing?
If we ever need a place to crash.
I licked the microphone.
You
these
did not
were
just
on like, these were on like, the floor was on super sale too at Home Depot.
Don't
it.
Tell people that.
No, tell
well,
me that.
They were like, they're out now.
Oh, okay.
So
we did this like 3 years ago and they
gorgeous.
Don't sell this anymore.
Well, it looks great.
Yeah.
No, thanks for having us on your show. Really great.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Of course, you can find us at air-raid.net. Yes, Dave, there is a dash in there.
I know.
Yeah.
I wish you could do
once
something
you go
about
dash,
that.
You never go back.
And you can find us at all the usual spots, Stitcher and iTunes and Zune Marketplace. And, you know, it really helps us out and lets us know that you are listening. If you leave us those little star ratings that take you about 5 seconds.
Thank you.
On iTunes. And thumbs up on Stitcher, you know, just to let us know that you are there. Well, I've had a great time
us
this
as well.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. And we'll.
We're
hey, why not,
show.
Man?
Yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah. Let's just make this a conglomerate.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll do a Skype cast.
Yes.
Yeah. So next week is still kind of up in the air for our next guest for episode 45, but I promise you it will be somebody who will interest you.
Says
not
the man
that,
with confidence.
Yes. Not that you guys didn't interest anybody
we were
because
a trial
this was very
run.
Interesting. See, I did this on our barbecue episode too, where I said it was so we recorded it way out of sequence, and I said at the end next week we'll have somebody. Important. And my two guests who are
like,
very
hey,
close
ass.
Friends of mine were like
yeah.
ouch
yeah. It'll get better
that's not how
here.
I meant it that's not how I meant it
just as
anyway,
important
yeah we'll be back next week with episode 45 with somebody else and I hope you guys have a great week thanks for
later.
Listening.